We have done our level best to tame love. We've tried to make it safe. We've reduced love to the point where we no longer have to feel intimidated by it. We can walk away when it gets too hard. Let it go if somehow we begin to feel insecure, if we feel too open, too exposed to danger. Doubtless there are many preachers across the country today who are talking about love, specifically about the different kinds of words for love, the Greek words in the gospel. They're enumerating the difference between agape, eros, and philios. And in doing so, they are not only putting some of their congregations to sleep, but they're not helping our perception of love. In point of fact, they're continuing to do damage, turning powerful basic structures of our existence into the topic of soft conversation in the academic study. They fade love into the beige wasteland of the inoffensive and unchallenging, to which we seem to want to consign everything that challenges us. Love, the care for another above the self, means that we must be vulnerable. We must open ourselves up. Jesus' instruction to the disciples in today's gospel is all well and good, but it seems like it's a tall order in our eyes. Jesus showed the disciples what he meant by love, by washing their feet, taking a role that was far beneath him, and opening himself up to the possibility of shame. But the disciples didn't seem to understand. Then followed a discourse inviting and instructing them to love one another. And that really didn't seem to work out that well either, seeing as just after the end of the gospel reading today, Peter talks to Jesus and shows that he really, really doesn't understand something as simple as love one another. Only in the lifting up of Jesus on the cross and the raising up of Christ from the tomb do we see the full measure of God's love for the world. This is the type of love that we are called to, love that sacrifices self for the good of others. It is only after the resurrection that the disciples understand what Jesus is trying to do and say about love and how they are to imitate it. But now they have to enact it. And that's hard to do, loving this truly, this fully, in the face of our fear, in the face of our fragility and our weakness. That's why we have to overcome ourselves in order to enter into it. We cannot love ourselves alone. We must reach beyond ourselves. But to what extent do we reach? Do we stretch out our love? That's the challenge. And that's the issue in today's first reading from Acts. How far can the good news extend? Must we extend the love commended to us to everyone? Does God's love extend even to the Gentiles? Metropolitan Demetrio Christostomus, a Greek Orthodox priest, served in the first half of the 20th century on the Greek island of Zakynthos. He was, by all accounts, a good pastor and a holy man who served the church universal to the best of his abilities. During the Second World War, Nazi officials came to his island and made a request of the Metropolitan. They asked him for a list of all the Jews on the island, presumably because the church would be the best record keeper. The next day, the officials returned and asked for the list that the Metropolitan had compiled, and he handed them a piece of paper. On the large white sheet, there was only one name printed: Metropolitan Demetrio Christostomus. Not everyone is presented with as clear-cut a situation as the Metropolitan. Much more likely, our choices will be made over years, small decisions that over time become larger ones, to love or not to love. Demetrio Christostomus made himself vulnerable in a very stark way, opening himself up to the possibility of being sent to the concentration camp, of the Nazi officials taking him at his word. But he also opens himself up to the possibility that God could do some work through his love in saving lives that would otherwise have been lost. In our small choices to love, we do no less than he did. We open ourselves up, make ourselves vulnerable, not only to the bad, but also to the good, and most especially to God. My parents split up when I was 5, although it didn't become official until a year later. And then when I was 8, my father got remarried. Now, I didn't really take to having a stepmother very well at all. You might say I really, really disliked it. My brother, who was 4, was much more accepting of this woman being in our lives. I, on the other hand, was about an inch shy of downright hostility. My father pleaded, cajoled, bribed, railed, and did just about anything he could think of to get me to interact with his wife. But I still didn't. And it continued this way for some time. And at one point, I remember thinking that this was sort of a tipping point. I had a choice to make. This woman, my stepmother, was a part of my life, whether I liked it or not. I could either continue shutting her out, and in the process, closing myself off from my family, or I could open up to the idea of the possibility, at least. That's as far as I was willing to go, the possibility of having a relationship with this woman. And slowly that began to happen. First, we just began to be amicable to each other. And then it continued from there. It happened step by step, choice by choice. First, I decided to answer questions using more than one syllable. A shocking development. Then we had whole conversations. I chose to laugh at her jokes and found that when I started laughing, I actually thought that most of them were funny. It has gotten to the point now where I look forward to seeing her. I enjoy her company. I love her. A thought that would have been inconceivable when I was 8. Love is not something that needs taming. Rather, it is we who need to be less safe, to be open to the danger of love, the danger that if we love one another, we might have to let go of our preconceptions, grudges, and assumptions that we hold over ourselves like armor. This armor sometimes, yes, does keep us from getting hurt, but more often than not, it gets in the way. The good news is that getting rid of it is easier than it sounds. We can begin this morning, here, at this table. We can come up and choose to be open, vulnerable to the love that God has in store for us, and begin to love those on our left and on our right. And if we do, we might recognize Jesus in them, who will say, "Yes, I remember you." Amen.